Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 261.
This week on the podcast, Trump uses the UN gathering to threaten nuclear war and thank the great nation of Nambia for making his friends so rich. Isn't diplomacy grand?
Plus, Kim Jong-un brought back the word dotard, and now we all sound Shakespearean.
Oh my god, did John and Lindsay just break up over Lindsay's secret affair with healthcare reform? What a bitch!
Plus, First Amendment expert Donald Trump describes his specific administration-approved maneuvers for football protesting.
And Trump redefines the word loyalty while extolling on his distaste for Luther Strange at a Luther Strange rally.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
Sure can.
You can find us on iTunes, where you could leave us a review.
Do that.
One of the things that you can do.
That's right.
Could leave us a review on Stitcher.
Yeah.
You can rate us at both of those places.
Yeah.
You could just tell your friends. You know.
That's right.
You do you. But like, do you while reviewing our show.
Right, exactly.
This week we decided to take a break from the meteorology.
Yeah. You know what? We can't do it any longer.
It's too many natural disasters. You know that we are as afraid of natural disasters as two people could possibly
be. We had one in Los Angeles this week. It certainly wasn't on the scale of the terrible one
in
Mexico City. But it woke me up. That was scary.
Yeah, sure.
You know what? And so to then have an earthquake in Mexico City is like, I'm not trying to be thinking about that. So like, we hope that you know, everything is okay down there. It's not. But I mean, like, you know, we're thinking of you, Mexico City, but we're not going to talk about you on the podcast other than what we just
can't.
Said it's, right now.
You guys know what happens during an earthquake because we reported on it last week because it had already happened once in Mexico. So, and it's like the hurricane business is getting too scary. We don't even live in a hurricane zone, but I feel scared of the weather now in a way that I hadn't before.
I know.
We just leave you with one comment, which is, just like believe that climate change is real and like let's try to do something about
it. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
But there's plenty of fun political stuff this week. Trump was at the UN. We're going to talk about all of that. But we also have another special guest on the show with us to
talk
about all of this with. His name is Thomas Dale. He's a comedian. He's really funny. You've probably seen him in a bunch of TV and stuff. He's specifically going to be in this upcoming season of This Is Not Happening on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
But you should follow him on social or whatever. He's really funny. And we have him here with us today. Hey, Thomas, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
It took me a while to fully comprehend the full magnitude of this, specifically this week's news, because we warned everyone last week to look for this Trump UN visit, and it was so much crazier than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Really? Are you really still shocked?
I know.
It's the ways in which he's crazy that shock me, like the sort of magnitude of crazy doesn't shock me. But, like, the man made up a country in country in Africa in front of African leaders, which is,
And his supporters still support him.
His supporters have also not heard.
Right, I was going to say, not only do they support him, but now there's probably, like, you know, Facebook pages, like, about, you know, the things that we can do to help the people of Nambia.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a real country to them now.
Right. Yeah, it's absolutely absurd.
He spoke it into existence.
So
in any case, one bright spot, there was no physical comedy at this round of Trump meets world leaders.
Yeah.
Usually there's some sort of handshake drama.
Oh,
usually he like has some
we
weird
love the
standoff.
Handshake drama, though,
I know
it's so awkward.
That Macron handshake war
that went on forever.
That went
that
on forever.
His wife
was like
for
we
a while
were obsessed.
Yeah. And like,
the handshake dramas, it's so creepy to me that I can't even involve. I can't look at it. It's like when I can't look at swarms. I have a phobia of holes and swarms. And him shaking hands is along that same line. I get that same feeling. My skin
it
crawls.
It is a really disgusting.
I could vomit almost.
Looking,
of those.
It is.
But so they managed to keep all their handshakes in private at the UN.
Oh, because they're probably all like, I bet you some of the UN leaders chopped their hands off before they went. They were like, I don't want to touch him.
I guarantee there was a lot of prep that went on.
I was going to say, a lot of them probably practiced.
They're all
got to stand, you know, standing your ground is tough when someone's shoving you at them. So all of the comedy was spoken comedy. There was him praising the healthcare system of Nambia, a country that is not Namibia or Zambia.
Right.
And do they have a healthcare system?
In Nambia, they certainly don't. Because
are they dying by the dozens out in Africa?
It's not a real country.
I love that he's out there, like, because he also praised Australia's healthcare system. Right. He's like praising all these healthcare systems that aren't ours, but yet somehow is
trying to destroy ours.
Wants to take 30 million people off of ours.
Yeah. As if that'll make it better.
Well, it'll make it more like Nambias.
Nambias, right, yeah.
That's one thing we know. But he also, in that same room, this was at like a group of African leaders that were having like a luncheon or something that he was speaking at. And he also said to them that he had so many friends going to their countries trying to get rich.
Yeah, sure.
This is a room full of people who have suffered the worst legacies of colonialism on the planet. Mm-hmm. But Trump... Yeah. Happy to let them know that rich white Westerners are out there to make a buck off them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He also began his speech at another meeting plugging the Trump World Tower across the street.
Oh, my God.
Sure.
Yeah.
As The Guardian put it, his first remarks as president on UN ground were spoken as a property developer, which I feel like sort of sums it all up.
Yeah. Well, he wanted to start with what he was good at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's not good at presidenting.
No. Mm-hmm.
He's good at property development.
I mean, is he even good at that? Because I stayed at a Trump Tower in Atlantic City.
Oh, you stayed in one.
We stayed in one when I was like 22. And we were like, oh, this is so gross. And the whole thing, we were like making fun of it the whole time. And
it feels like the kind of hotel where everything would be gold, but dirty.
It is.
Too.
It's gold. It's yellow.
Or yeah, it's like
gold. It's like, oh, no, that's not what you were going for.
That's not the real.
Everything was yellow. I remember.
Yellow. Like black marble, fake black marble.
Yeah.
Painted black marble mustard. Yellow that, and like doesn't pass the like white glove test. Mm-mm, mm-mm. Yeah, right.
Gross.
Trump didn't stay at his own hotel though during all of that.
That's so weird.
He was gross. Like, his hotels are gross.
Yeah. He's a very rich guy with fancy houses, as he's reminded us many, many times.
He didn't want to take all the meetings with world leaders at his own hotel because that wouldn't have.
He just wanted to rent them rooms so that he could later ask them for favors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
But so he mostly stayed in a hotel in Midtown and just like took visitors.
Yeah.
But he did give the opening speech at the General Assembly or the speech at the General Assembly opening that is traditionally reserved for the American president. Mm-hmm. And it was as exciting as advertised.
Yeah. The big takeaway from this speech, because it sort of started a war of words, which we're going to get into, but was that he called Kim Jong-un Rocket Man.
Yes.
I don't know that...
I am failing to see what's so insulting about
right?
that.
I know. He
Kim
loves
Jong-un.
To, like, dub people, you know, sort of, like their, with their little
Hillary.
Monikers. But, like, that Rocket... Like, that's not...
Yeah, he's a man with
insulting.
Rockets. It kind of makes him
sound
important.
Yeah, it's not Crooked Hillary. It's not, you know, little Marco or whatever. You know, it's just like...
Rocket
huh?
Man, yeah.
Yeah. It's like... He sounds... It makes him sound kind of cooler than... Than I mm-hmm. would have previously imagined him as. Uh-huh. But he also threatened to totally destroy North Korea. Ah. So, you know.
God, well, I sure. can't. I'm like...
It's maybe the first time that someone has threatened to totally destroy a nation at the UN.
In front of the UN, where you're,
Which was basically established to
stop
nations
from
doing
that.
Yeah.
Let me shine a light, though. This is the light that I'm going to shine on this right now. unfortunately, we're meant to have a civil war. Like this is what's about to start to happen, right? And and it is because of the Constitution. Yeah, it is because the Constitution is it's outdated, and you can't live by one same set of rules that were made hundreds of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, so the government is messed up. The government is definitely messed up, right? Trump isn't the answer, but it's definitely messed up.
Right.
The government itself, the system. So in order, and society is evolved, and there's half of our society that doesn't want to evolve, and then there's the other half that has evolved. So we can't live together peacefully. It's not going to happen. So that's a nice thought that people think that's going to happen, but it's not. So now that we know that, okay, Trump is actually right on target. Like, he is meant to be this thing that he is.
Well,
there's no making sense of him. There's no, he's...
I've said something similar and it was a... theory that I stole from my therapist, basically, but that like he is sort of like forcing us to deal with some of these things. It's painful,
yes,
and like it will probably continue
to
be so.
Yeah, and well,
and it will have lasting effects.
It will result in violence.
But it's sort of like you know, once you sort of like push something aside for long enough, it sort of like manifests in front of you,
and
like
it has manifested.
It has manifested,
and it's going to manifest even more. This is just the beginning. So I'm at the point where now I just sit back and just wait for what it's supposed to be. Like right now, this is all just the foreplay.
The
this is the foreplay before the rape.
Right.
Okay, and we're about to all get raped pretty fucking hard.
Just
so.
Doesn't feel enough like foreplay, though. Unfortunately,
it doesn't feel like foreplay. But you'll know when you're getting raped. You'll be like, oh, that was foreplay. So you'll know. Talk to me in a year.
Dark Theories with Thomas Dale.
Yeah,
that's right.
Fear fantasies.
Fear fantasies, as we Thomas like to, Dale. Yeah, we like to discuss a good fear fantasy on this podcast.
The truth. I used to have premonitions when I was a kid, actually.
Really?
Oh, yeah, when I was a kid, I remember I used to hang out with my friends, and I'd say we were like 16, 17, you know, we'd be smoking blunts.
I was just about
out.
To say, were you high?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Smoking weed.
Sounds, yeah.
But I was talking about it when we were smoking weed. I had the premonitions when I wasn't high. I was a kid, right? And I just used to have these visions of like of burning of fires and like desert and smoke. And I saw the White House burnt down to the ground and ashes.
That sounds
and
like a very... It seems like something that Steve Bannon would have cooked up, probably. Put in one of his documentaries.
Steven Spielberg.
Or it's like in a Bill O'Reilly novel somewhere.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That,
It's the truth. And I used to tell my friends that, and they were like, and this was in Clinton years, so there was no reason to have
that.
Right,
so feeling. Everyone was living in
was happy,
happy,
was happy. It was
mania. Nice.
And I just, I was the only one with this dark vision. I was like, you're crazy, Thomas, stop smoking weed. Now, cut to us.
Yeah, here we go.
20 years later, who's crazy now?
Have you reminded all of these friends?
I've reminded them over and over and over again on every time.
That's what you should do.
And they
were
like, you're right. It's
right.
Is that,
they know that you were right.
Make sure that you are,
of course.
That everyone knew you were right.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Exactly. So this speech was mostly him identifying various arch nemesis. He identified Iran. That freaked everyone out.
Yep.
He identified North Korea. He was going to totally destroy them. He also was like really
threatened
down on
pulling out of the
the nuclear deal.
And the North Korea thing, that bothers me because the missile hits us.
Yeah. I know.
And we're the ones that we didn't even want this.
Really. I know, right?
The car, it hits literally California.
That's like a win-win, though, for Trump. Who
of course.
Would, I know.
Yes.
That's like,
of course he's not shook.
Right. He's like, oh, yeah.
That's a huge...
He's like, yes.
That's Seattle a lot of electoral votes that he doesn't have to worry about.
Exactly.
I think he's actually starting this with Kim Jong-un to get us to do that to us. He's like, can you guys please?
Get rid of the California problem.
Good luck funding the government without us, by the way.
Seriously.
But
yeah.
He doesn't care because he's rich. He doesn't need the government to be funded.
He doesn't need the income, Brett.
No.
No mention of climate change.
No mention of climate change. Also, he kept going on about Venezuela. As if Venezuela is like a rogue state that is like doing nuclear arms deals with other states.
What is he saying about Venezuela?
He kept adding it onto the list of Iran and North Korea as if they are some sort of like aggressive enemy state. Venezuela
and
it's
a shit show down there, but like they're not doing anything.
Their biggest problem is trannies tricking straight men.
They literally don't even have food right now in Venezuela. Like they're not like enacting nuclear arms.
But when
we were
at PolitiCon a couple months ago, and Tommy Warren was obsessed with Venezuela too.
They're trying,
there's like a real like crazy
right wing
thing.
They're trying to make Venezuela happen.
What is their obsession with Venezuela?
Well, they try to create these scapegoats. They try to create because now that what they're doing with Russia is like trying to. They put out propaganda because my dad was talking to me and he was like, this was before Trump, while Trump was getting like while he was nominated and campaigning. Yeah. My dad all of a sudden was like, oh, did you hear that Russia might have the cure for diabetes? This is good stuff. And I was like,
Then he read that
since
on Facebook,
when?
Didn't he?
But I was like, since when did you care about Russia? Uh-huh. And then the other day he was talking about how he saw this video of this Japanese girl and the torture she went through this Korean girl, the torture she went through. And I was like, wait, hold on, Dad. Don't you hate Asian people? What are you? You just started set. I just got you to stop saying Oriental, and now you care about this poor Korean girl. So now I know. Oh, the propaganda is being flooded out into the system, and they're eating it up.
Yeah. Well, Venezuela is a sort of especially fear fantastical story because it's about the breakdown of a society and all
that's
of the.
That's what it boils down to.
And so, and they're trying to kind of like remind everyone that. You know, if you don't follow our rules, Venezuela could happen to you.
That's what's going to happen to you.
It's the fear-mongering at its best.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. But the Iran nuclear deal thing really went over poorly with a lot of other world leaders, in particular because Rex Tillerson could not come up with a logical reason for why they wanted to pull out of the deal. He kept being asked for specifics by other leaders and kept kind of being like punting the question while admitting that the deal was working.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then finally said that one of his objections was that the deal expires in 2025. So why bother?
Oh, sure.
Why bother having it now if it's going to expire eventually? Yeah. And they were like,
right, in 7 years.
Right, like maybe we could continue to negotiate after that point. But no,
But the world will have descended into nuclear war by 2025 anyway. So what's the diff whether Iran has one or not, right? I mean,
exactly. He like came in, offered no alternatives, said the deal was working, and then was angry that they were doing it.
Rex Tillerson needs to start doing a little bit better because John McCain, who has been the shadow secretary of state we've talked a lot about on this podcast,
sick.
Is he's got brain cancer. Yeah. So he's not going to be able to go around cleaning up everyone's messes, mm-hmm. which is what he's been mm-hmm. doing. He's yeah. been putting on more miles than Rex Tillerson has.
Yeah, he's been traveling with every Senate delegation that leaves
right.
the state,
every time Trump offends another nation,
it's
John McCain to the rescue, because he's the one that everybody is sort of like, you know, feels is mm-hmm. maybe a rational actor
Do you think John McCain's really only being like this because he's has brain cancer with and he's like, oh wow, this I should actually care.
Well, I think some of this was before that. I think, like, you know, you can
the
sort
Secretary
of like talk
of state stuff was before that.
Was before
him,
that, yeah.
I'm saying
but
with
I mean,
the healthcare stuff, like him turning against his party.
Partially, support, I think, probably, for sure. I think the Secretary of State stuff is probably rooted in some sort of like, you know,
secret desire he has to be the Secretary of State.
Well, right, and also, you know, his sort of, I'm sure he would say it's all, you know, love of country and
they all love the country so much.
Exactly.
But I was especially excited to see that, to see the John Kelly picture of him face-palming.
No,
John
Kelly,
he's making his way around the internet.
Yeah.
He's chief of staff.
Chief of staff, and he... So when Trump had that crazy press conference where he like talked about both sides, you know, there were like shots of like John Kelly basically like looking like mortified, and that continued at the UN speech. Like during Trump's speech, there's like all these photographs of like of John Kelly looking like,
and it turned into a meme.
There's no way I can't. I'm never going to be able to write this ship, because that's why he was brought in. He was brought in to be like, I'm going to fix everything in this administration, and he is like. The more that Trump is in public in front of microphones, he's realizing that there's no hope for him.
No hope.
That
there's
photo
no hope.
Was kind of like the embodiment of the entire Trump at the UN.
Right. That was like, it spoke for all of us.
It spoke for all of us and everyone at the UN, because one of the diplomats at the who was being interviewed by The Guardian about this literally said it was the most emotionally exhausting UN meeting they'd ever been to. I was like, if you're using using
terms
like emotionally exhausting to describe a UN General Assembly meeting.
Yeah, you're supposed to sleep through those.
Exactly.
You know, like, come on.
That's like filled with platitudes. But his speech was also filled with platitudes about diplomacy and unity. That was part of what was so confusing about it, is it was very disjointed. He spent half the speech saying he was going to start a nuclear war with North Korea, and then the other half of the speech kind of going on with his regular platitudes when he wasn't using America First propaganda to describe why we shouldn't listen to the needs of any other states. Like, there were so many contradictory points made during that speech that it was an emotional roller coaster and ultimately exhausting. But Bibi Netanyahu loved it, so that's what counts.
Well, he wants us out of that Iran deal more than anything else.
Because that was like an Obama thing, right?
Big deal. And
it's a deal with Iran, which he...
But everything with Obama, he wants to... It's like, this is like...
Trump for sure.
Trump is only having a schoolyard comparison. That's it. Everything Obama did, he wants to take. That's it. I don't know why he... Well, does he hate Obama because... And this is a real question, not just let's just jump on the handle, but does he hate Obama because Trump is actually a racist, or does he hate Obama because Obama's a better man than him? What do you think?
I don't know that he would actually... I don't think he can wrap his head around the fact that
I don't think
Obama
he thinks anyone is a better
than
man
him.
Than
yeah,
him.
I don't...
Okay. Like, I don't think that's in his lexicon.
I think he's actually that delusional.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably. But I don't... Yeah, I don't... I think probably... Yeah, I think it's definitely
racism. Yeah.
Probably. I mean,
it started.
This is the man who started.
Right.
He
did start it with that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
No, and I think that even if he couldn't identify that thought in his own head, like that is the thing that's forcing him to act. Like his motivation is racism, even if he wouldn't describe it.
I was gonna say he's a person who is continuing to think that he's not racist.
Right. I mean, everybody is a person who's continuing to think they're not.
Yeah,
racist,
because they don't understand.
The
they think that literally, if you don't kill a person of a different race, you're not racist.
Right. Yes.
It's like, no, it's not about murder.
Right.
What do you mean? You're not a murderer, but you're racist.
Right. Yeah. There's a. That's the. It's the American method of explaining away.
Yeah.
In any case, this UN thing caused one of the more hilarious wars of words in a dangerous, world-changing kind of fashion with Kim Jong-un. Because in the aftermath of all of this, Kim Jong-un was forced to come out and respond to being called a rocket man. And also to being told that we were going to wipe his nation off the earth.
America got to learn a new word.
Exactly. He responded in the only way that a North Korean leader knows how, which is through state media in North Korea, where he used a Korean term that is apparently actually in use that means the same
Right. It means like an old, senile, lazy person.
Right. But he called Trump a dotard.
Yeah.
A dotard?
Yeah, which we had
which
to...
Which everyone in America had to look up.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and there was like a... There was a whole thing with like Merriam-Webster was like... Searches for this word are like
skyrocketed
yeah, because everybody was like trying to figure out what it was that Kim Jong-un had said about the president. Yeah.
He called him a mentally deranged U.S. dotard.
Yeah.
And when you hear the definition of dotard, it does seem like an accurate way to encompass all that is Trump. It's like a sort of bumbling senile person.
Yeah.
I prefer a fucking idiot.
Yes.
I mean, fair enough.
Yeah.
But so... In any case, he described him as a mentally deranged U.S. dotard, using the Korean word for dotard, which we can't say. And then Trump obviously took to Twitter to, you know, be angry about that, and tweeted, "Kim Jong-un of North Korea, who is obviously a madman who doesn't mind starving or killing his people, will be tested like never before."
You know what? They're both not wrong, by the way.
Also, Trump has proven once again that he has an inferior vocabulary to a non-native speaker.
He doesn't have the best words. He claims to have the best words. He doesn't have the best words.
That's not an example of the best words at all. The best thing about all of this was that we got to take a trip down memory lane of all of the funny things people in North Korea and America have said about each other.
Mm-hmm.
I had forgotten about this because I remember that this was a controversy when W was president. But at one point in a private meeting, he called Kim Jong-il, Kim Jong-un's dad, a pygmy. And I remember that was like a pig. He called him a pygmy who acted like a spoiled child at the dinner table. And it, for some reason, made the news. And we all spent like a week looking at it.
Like, what's crazy is he acts like a spoiled child at the dinner table.
That's the best part of all of this. It's so absurd.
It's
like two like boy princes going at it with each other.
Yeah.
But North Korea has also had some creative insults for American leaders and other, you know, and South Korean leaders, other people
some
that they hate.
Some pretty solid.
They've gone straight racism. They've called Obama a monkey. They've also called the former president of South Korea, who's female, a prostitute, a snake. They've said she should meet a miserable dog's death. And then the Korean state news agency has called Hillary Clinton by no means intelligent and says she sometimes looks like a primary school girl and sometimes a pensioner going shopping.
A pensioner.
They've called John Kerry a wolf with a hideous lantern jaw.
Yeah, I don't know what exactly.
He does have a hideous lantern jaw. He does.
I'm just assuming that they're right. Because he looks
like
has a jaw.
Yeah, he looks like a South Park character. The way the head talks.
Yes.
Yeah. Totally.
And then they've called W. Do you remember in Baghdad, W got a shoe thrown at him at a press conference?
Yes, that was fun.
They said he looked like a chicken soaked in the rain.
We were so innocent then.
Yeah.
But that was a big, my God. Yes.
We thought the worst thing that you could do was to
throw a shoe.
After a pretend war that was drummed up to avenge your dad's failure.
But now it's just melt my face with nuclear missiles, you know. Yeah. Oh, the good old days.
The good old days.
Of a shoe.
So we've all now looked up the word for dotard and also realized that it's a word that Shakespeare used, but not a word that any of us have used.
No.
The word in Korean is nukdari.
Yeah, sure.
But apparently it's a common derogatory term there. And it's supposed to connote someone who is lazy and useless and demented.
That's it.
He didn't even know the word that he taught us, basically. Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, because I kept reading the story and being like, he didn't deliver that statement in English.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Somebody translated that.
Yeah.
Like, why are we pretending?
Right.
Like, why wasn't it translated as senile person or something? Like, that would make sense to me. But no. in any case, healthcare is back.
Yes.
If you were wondering if you should continue to panic about losing your health insurance and therefore your life, you should.
Yeah.
But... We have now gone through the exact same series of steps that we went through last time to discover, you know, to kind of whittle votes away from the majority.
Yeah.
And now it seems like we might have enough no votes to kill the bill, but you never know until you know, because it keeps coming
killed,
back.
So when the bill gets killed, though, like, it's killed then. That's it, right? Like,
the bill gets killed, but
there's
then
some questions
someone...
about that.
Don't they keep creating new ones?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so they just go... So apparently what happened was... So we all know that Lindsey Graham and John McCain are BFFs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so John McCain, being the no vote on the last bill, got a lot of flack from everybody. And what no one knew was that Lindsey Graham secretly snuck off. Lindsey Graham, who, by the way, has never had anything to do with healthcare reform in his life. He knows nothing about healthcare reform.
I still am always confused about if we're talking about a man or a woman,
I mean, Lindsey Graham. He's both. Still, no. He's everyone.
Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
He's a girl's name. Go ahead.
It is. Yeah.
He's like a girl's name slash it's a...
might be asexual anyway.
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. But also, he... He has like a sort of like old like a Southern aristocrat name.
Yeah.
Lindsay is either like a woman who was born in the 80s or like an old Southern gentleman.
Yes, like a wealthy. Yeah.
Yes, and that's the one
family money.
That's the one. That's where his name came from.
Lindsay needs to be brought to school. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Exactly. But so in any case, he sneaks off with Senator Cassidy and starts feverishly working on the next Obamacare repeal attempt, which is
just as shitty as all the rest of
them. The same as all the other ones, exactly.
It's the same but different.
It's the same but different, exactly. Yeah. And it's weird, because, as we said, he's never shown any interest in healthcare policy before.
And then we all start getting scared, though, because Lindsey Graham and John McCain are
BFFs.
Like, they're, like, attached
to
the hip.
So this bill,
like, they don't
initially,
go anywhere without each other.
When it's released, everyone's like, okay. But then, because of the best friendship between John McCain and Lindsey Graham, John McCain comes back from his August recess and starts to indicate he might be interested in voting for this bill.
Yeah.
And suddenly we're like, oh my God, there might be 50 votes now. So we all panic. Press is at him every 7 minutes. And every 7 minutes he gives a completely different response to what he's going to do about the bill. Exciting times. Mm-hmm. he is sort of, at the beginning, is flirting with it. He says, if it's not through regular order, then it's a mistake. Doesn't mean I wouldn't vote for it. So he's kind of saying, he's trying to say, you know, regular order is important, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to violate my own principles and vote
for it. Well, that's like his new, like, since he got brain cancer, that's his new obsession.
Yes. Yeah, regular order.
He wants to go back to, like, debating things, sending them through committees.
Potential bipartisanship.
Having a debate on the Senate floor, bipartisanship. So we said on the podcast last week, we were like, there's no way that he's going to vote for this because this doesn't pass his regular order smell test.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But he sort of...
It's a weird thing he's not wrong about it, but it's a weird thing to, like, since when are we caring about that, right? I'm like...
But...
Anyway.
He...
Regular
gives
order, huh?
At least
Senate hasn't been in regular order for the better part of a decade.
Well, I know. It's like in his old age, he's forgetting the last 10 to 15 years, I guess. But in any case, he finally on Friday announces that he is not that into it after all.
Yeah.
And he coupled his rejection with a very long statement about when the fuck the Senate can go back to regular order. It's a pretty strong statement. We already know that Rand Paul is a no on this bill because he thinks it doesn't do enough to dismantle Obamacare.
It doesn't make sure enough people die.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it seems like Susan Collins will find the same objections with it that she found with the last bill. So people are kind of assuming at this point that she'll probably vote against it, and that's the three votes.
Yeah. I hate that Paul Ryan's such a scumbag because he's so cute. Like, he has like a
ridiculous
sex from emotion.
1980s.
You have to sometimes.
Yes.
Cheesy smile face.
I like that. Like, those
exercise photos, I'll never get those out of my head.
Yeah.
I just want to be under his desk sucking his dick. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're not alone.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't particularly, but I know others.
That's the thing.
I do. I think he's something like that. He's just very Kennedy, that hair.
Yeah. Aaron Schock.
Aaron Schock, different story.
He's gone, though.
He's gone.
Yeah, might be in prison soon. He was another Republican.
Then he's already halfway there. Is there?
Exactly. He'd already made his way around Barry's Boot Camp in West Hollywood, as we knew. Yeah. So, you know, he was exploring his options. Yeah. But,
those big blue eyes. All right, let me focus.
gross.
Yeah, I know.
So, in any case, CBO score, not going to be ready until early next week. All of these people are being asked to to declare their positions without any information about what the bill will do.
Mm-hmm.
Governors are pretty pissed because this converts the healthcare system into a block grant system, which means they get less money, and then they have to figure out how to make up the difference. And earlier in the week, we got nervous because Murkowski was given like a real sweetheart deal where for some reason, Alaska and a few states like Alaska were essentially going to get to keep all the best parts of the ACA. Mm-hmm. And we were just going to pay for it while getting block grants in our states. And she hasn't buckled yet. So stay strong, Lisa.
Yeah.
But
there's two ridiculous talking points that they're using about why block grants are better, because block grants are basically just sort of like you would give a certain amount of money to each state, and then the state could do whatever they want with it. Like, they could start single payer if they wanted to, or they could use it to not give anybody health care, I would assume, probably. Mm-hmm. But they're saying two things. They're saying, well, look at how that's, because that's what they did to welfare.
Right.
When they redid that under Clinton, they made it into block grants, and they were like, look at how great that worked.
Didn't work well at all.
Disaster. But we've just forgotten that it didn't work well, so it's a great talking point for them. The other thing that's hilarious is that they're saying that the block grant system will be more fair, because right now, some states are getting more money disproportionately than other states, which is hilarious, because that's a problem that they created. Because the only reason that a state might be getting more money than another state...
It's because
they took the expansion from the government. So yeah, California is getting more than Mississippi is, because Mississippi said, don't give us the stupid money.
Right.
They're trying to pull one over on you.
Yeah.
Don't let them.
Yeah, no. They're greedy. No. They're greedy people. That's all they want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So...
They want to spend more of their money on missiles and wars. Which they successfully did this week as well, I believe.
They passed their $70 billion military budget, whatever it is.
$70 billion.
They can't afford free college for everyone, but they can certainly increase our military budget by that.
To fight that we start.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, we're like schoolyard bullies.
Yeah, 1,000%.
By calling somebody a rocket man.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's rocket man money.
It's rocket man money.
Like, with North Korea, like, here's the thing. Like, yes, awful human being, awful dictator, awful place to live. But... let the people rise up. They need to rise up. The Koreans, the North Koreans. If it's such an issue, they need to rise up.
And it's also important that we make sure that we listen to our allies in the region who understand
what the sort of issues
on the ground are there.
Right.
Because
exactly.
With any situation like that, there are reasons that, you know, people can't rise up that have to do with how sort of like curtailed their rights are. But there is also a sort of appropriate way to encourage people to rise up so that in the cultural context, it makes sense for them to do that. And that's
the other thing is that there's been propaganda. And there's been a lot of questions about whether North Korea, you know, they've been testing a lot of bombs, but there's still some questions about whether they actually have one that could get here or not. Right. But what they definitely have is one that can get to South Korea, and they definitely have one that can get to Japan.
Right.
Exactly.
And so, like, those guys are supposedly our allies. They're not trying to have us start a war of words, rocket man and dotards and whatever, like that. Like, that can't be leading to nuclear war. Like, when there are people, I mean, it's bad enough because, like, I don't want to get nuclear bombed, but, like, I don't want us to be responsible for, like, Japan getting nuclear bombed either when they didn't do anything.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
if we get nuclear bombed, am I cool if I'm in my room? At least? Like, if I'm in my room?
No.
Are we?
I think that's how that works.
Be outside in the street?
No.
Even in your room, you have to be in a literal concrete
Yeah, you
bunker.
Can't stand like in a doorway or
under my desk doesn't work. Mm-hmm. What?
No, because it's under the
Paul
radiation
Ryan's desk,
that
gets you. No desks work.
It's radiation. It's not the blast. I mean, the blast is bad, but the radiation is.
I mean, the blast might get you.
But the blast, right? You kind of hope in that situation the blast gets you, so the radiation doesn't.
So I had CAT scans and stuff like that's radiation, right? Like, is it worse than that? Obviously, right?
Much worse. Yeah. That's like an amount of radiation that medical professionals have deemed safe.
Right.
Worth the risk.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Because radiation is bad for you, but it...
So this radiation's so strong that it, like, comes and, like, mutates you instantly, or it just...
No, I mean, it does... The accounts from Nagasaki and Hiroshima, at least...
What did they say?
There's sort of the aftermath where, you know, for generations there are issues with, like, people's kids being born with health defects and things like that.
Yeah.
But it also, like, melts your skin off and shit
That's
like
what I'm
that.
Saying, yeah. Like, right away, right? Yeah. Like, okay.
Yeah.
So... in any case,
it's not good.
Even if I'm under my bed,
even if
I can't, right? I'm joking, but I'm also being serious.
Get into
I feel like if I go under my bed and put a blanket over my face, it's going
to
still melt my face.
Maybe like a lead blanket or something. I don't know.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, but if you're in
the
lead blanket, you don't
walls.
Get out.
Right.
But how does it get through the walls?
I mean,
science.
Yeah.
We got to look into this more. I'm not convinced. I'm going to be honest.
In any case, if we survive that, we still might not survive healthcare reform.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, exactly.
We won't be able to get treatment.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, my face burns off. Can I go get... Oh, my God.
No, can't go to the hospital.
In any case, one thing we did learn today is that Mike Lee and Ted Cruz are also not in for this bill.
Well, it's not terrible enough for them either, probably.
Exactly. No, I mean, they offered some amendments. The amendments were rejected, and so... they announced this weekend, or Ted Cruz announced for both of them this weekend at some, you know, newspaper festival in Austin.
He looks like he already was in a nuclear bomb, right? Like, totally his face has already melted off a little.
He looks like Beelzebub himself.
Yes, he has, like, he looks like what I see when I'm on acid. If that's what you would see. His face is very melty.
Slightly non-face-ish face.
Yeah, that's...
That is definitely a reason to not be doing acid. If you're walking around seeing Ted Cruz everywhere.
That's a nightmare. Big drug. If we address Beelzebub and Mike Lee's concerns, though, we probably lose Murkowski and Collins. So that's a balancing act. So it's you
doesn't
either lose.
Seem like it's going to pass.
There's plus Rand Paul. You either have those two or a different two, but you don't have all of them.
Yeah.
And that's especially tough because Collins basically said she's not going to vote for the bill this weekend. She didn't officially say she's not going to vote for the bill in that she didn't say the words, I'm going to vote no on this bill. Mm-hmm. But she was on CNN's State of the Union today, Sunday, and said she couldn't envision herself voting
for it. Well, she voted against. She's been the Republican who has been consistent on this issue. When Obama was the president and the Republicans were voting on it and knew they could vote on it because it would never actually get signed into law, she still voted no on it. Yeah. So, she's voted no on this basically every time that she could. So, it doesn't seem like there's anything new in this that would make her all of a sudden vote yes.
I mean, she cares about keeping the Medicaid money.
Right.
She cares about the Medicaid money. Mm-hmm. She cares about making sure that the pre-existing conditions coverage stays. I mean, the priorities that she has are a lot like the sort of middle ground Democratic priorities.
The pre-existing condition thing, if you're a politician who says that that should be taken out, that's only for the insurance companies. You're basically showing your hand.
100%.
You're showing your hand.
Oh, yeah.
You're saying, because you're not the only people that's helping is the insurance company. So you're saying, I'm on their side.
Yeah.
Done. There's no it's not black or white.
No, they are.
I get it with the money, state's money, and all that. Yeah, you're trying to figure out where that. I get it. People are paying for it. I don't want to. I get people's assholeness for that.
Sure.
But the whole pre-existing condition thing is you're literally saying
straight giveaway.
You have asthma. It's a giveaway. Yes. You get to
it's
die
very
now.
Transparent.
And
that only helps the insurance company. So that to me is
and it's something that we specifically remember if we are over the age of 25 in this country. You can remember what life was like before pre-existing condition.
Right.
I mean, we talk about that on the podcast all the time because
there are
very clear consequences for relatively healthy people. Right. Mm-hmm. I've been denied
1,000%
health insurance before. I mean, Tommy Lauren hasn't, but, she's only 24 or whatever.
Yeah, she's still on her
She's still on her parents' healthcare. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there are very real consequences for getting rid of that coverage
Most
people can relate to because most people have something wrong.
Yeah.
Most people aren't just, living.
In
I mean,
absolute 100% perfect health.
If you're
on that's just not a state
no medication
of being that
at
exists.
All.
And in perfect health, then you are a person who doesn't have health insurance and is deluding yourself.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But the CBO score is probably not going to be the golden ticket here. And Collins basically said, I'm not going to make a declaration until the CBO score comes out. The CBO score is going to once again show that 30 million people are going to lose their health coverage.
Yeah.
So there's no world in which the CBO score is coming out and everyone's like,
this
sounds great.
Work.
Yeah.
Yeah. this is a surprise.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm also curious because the only thing, this is from the New York
Times. I've never been, let me tell you, this is the most organized podcast I've ever been a part of. Go ahead.
You're not the first person
to say that. We can't keep our thoughts straight.
I'm looking at a PowerPoint presentation right now.
We sort of feel like if you're going to talk about politics, you should make sure that you facts with you at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the one thing I want to point out with this graph that our listeners can't see, but it's from the New York Times, is that one of the only things that all of these repeal plans have kept is the keeping dependents on coverage until the age of 26, which I think is such an interesting line for them to draw regulation-wise. They don't want to protect people with pre-existing conditions. They don't want, this is mostly about cutting taxes for the rich. So they all want to have tax cuts, but they don't want to protect essential health benefits to make sure that people's coverage when they do purchase it is adequate.
Right.
They don't want to, they don't want to cover abortions. They don't want to cover anything.
Right.
But they, for some reason, are really committed to making sure their own kids keep their health coverage.
Yeah.
Well, also, that's one of those they're willing to let us think that they're being reasonable.
That's what I was just
when it really doesn't matter.
It's the bone they're throwing.
Yeah, and it's easy for them to do it because, again, that only helps the insurance companies because who cares if a 25-year-old's on because he's not getting that sick.
Right, and the 25-year-olds are the healthy people.
Right, exactly. So the insurance company's not paying for anything for them. So they're sure, stay on your parents' plan.
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
We'll get you
it's a meaningless.
We'll 30.
It doesn't hurt their friends at the insurance
Exactly. So that's that's their little pretend I don't buy it.
Yeah.
Any of it.
We care about the children.
Very transparent.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so interesting because that is that's the only thing in all of these attempts that has been consistent. And it's a very popular
a
measure, but it's a no-brainer. It just, it violates their objection to injecting regulation into this marketplace in the first place. It does it very obviously, and I don't understand why that's the one that they can be like,
yeah,
like just from a sort of policy point of view, from the standpoint,
it doesn't
of,
affect any policy.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't
it's
affect.
So, yeah, it's so minimal.
It's just it violates their principles.
What do you mean?
Oh, they don't care.
What do you mean?
I mean, they don't care.
Yeah, because they don't have principles.
But their principles they're being
principles.
Like right.
principles.
They're sort of stated principles.
Yeah, they're stated principles right. of not having any
of
regulation.
Of not having any regulation in the health insurance marketplace. Of that being
yeah,
the
but
reason.
That's not regulation to me. Well, that is the that to me like being able to stay in your parents' insurance is so not regulation.
Right,
that's like
yeah.
just that's like
it. It is by.
By
it,
their
it's
standard,
not, but by but it it,
it is it, by their standard.
Yeah, but I get what Thomas is saying.
Yeah,
yeah. Like
I mean,
it
I
is
get
by
why
their
it's
standard,
important.
But it's also so not important that
they don't
just
because it's
like
they're already on the parents'
right.
plan,
and then
like,
they can also just
there.
Be like,
not
"Whoa,
changing anything?
We care about.
We kept. We did
we,
that.
Yeah, look,
we care
about
these
you
people.
Guys. Yeah, look
yeah.
at you guys. Yeah,
yeah.
It's a funny sort of it's a funny logical leap that they're logical jump that they're willing to make. But. In any case.
Because they think we're idiots and that we're like, oh, thank you for that. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Not me.
Tommy Lauren, though. No. Pure idiot. Yeah. She's willing to take them at their word there.
Tommy Lauren, another one that I'm not sure if we're talking about a boy or a girl. What is this? Well, these like...
She's T-O-M-I.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, she's that... She sort of is like the new young
Ann
Coulter.
Oh, no.
Like a 24-year-old blonde Republican far-right, like... Bimbo.
Ugh,
she was on.
God, yeah, just
she was
be,
on
like,
The Blaze,
yes.
which was that thing that Glenn Beck started.
With like
started
the bitchy rants,
TV
the
shit.
Whole bitchy rant
yeah,
thing,
yeah, yeah,
and the,
yeah.
the glasses.
She had like a Facebook
to make
channel.
Them look like they're smart. Yeah,
yeah.
That's
and
her.
She.
And it's like, no, you actually just look like every porn girl that all
yeah,
your.
She did. Oh, she totally looks
yeah.
like a porn girl.
You're
yeah.
like, you're like, oh,
very
you think you're looking smart, but no,
yeah.
you're actually
yeah.
they're jerking off to you because they don't take you seriously.
Yeah. It's
but yeah, we saw her at Politicon, which is like this political convention, like maybe a couple months ago, and like she. Revealed that she was still on her parents' health insurance as a
oh,
person,
I remember that.
As
yeah,
a person
I remember that,
who,
yes. and then she
like,
didn't get it when everyone laughed.
I know
her.
She was like,
"Huh?
Yeah. What? Like, yeah."
She didn't the, get why that they guessed
the hypocrisy
yeah, she
was
get
like
it.
Totally
that
alone.
Moment to me. Really proved to me that that's why I don't really argue with people anymore. I try not to. I mean, I was just online arguing about take a knee, but yeah,
okay.
We're gonna get
it.
There.
Yeah, yeah. But that moment to me showed. I was like, yeah, it reiterated. I already knew, but I reiterated like, oh. They really just don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't think, I think, let's say 60% of them are just, aren't bad people, and they just don't get it. Like, that moment, she really didn't, when she said it, yeah. she truly did not understand why they were gasping.
When she has
totally
no
agree.
Personal point of reference for what a world without the protections that she's trying to get rid
they
of
don't get
looks
it.
Like.
She
does,
yeah,
privilege.
She's young.
She's
and
too young.
She says she's living
exactly.
it. She doesn't
exactly.
get it.
So, but she did not, she has never lived in a time
right.
where she was forced to go shopping for her own health insurance.
Right.
Yeah.
And
excuse me, because, yeah, she's too young.
She has no idea.
Yeah, she doesn't know.
So
she doesn't get it.
One person who seems really dedicated to preventing us from going back to that time is, oddly, Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel is still
well, no,
continuing.
Son,
yeah,
because
of his son.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
But he, like, got back at it this week, and maybe even more aggressively
three
than he did the first
nights
time,
of his
actually.
Open,
just,
of his
like,
monologue.
Really
this is
week.
Real to him. This is personal.
It's
yeah,
totally,
this is,
yeah.
I know. It's so interesting because, you know, you think of, like Stephen Colbert was... you know, is sort of a political comedian. And so you
right.
understand why his show, why when they finally found their stride, it was all, you know, it's because they finally started doing political
yeah.
material in their open. And, I mean, their monologue. And so there's, like, certain late night hosts that I kind of expect explicit political material from.
Yeah.
Ones that come from The Daily Show, for example.
sure.
But
yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel is, like, so
right.
far
yeah,
from the person that he's
right.
he's
yeah.
so kind of, like, seemingly apolitical and so kind of, like, in it for the
yeah.
good time guy.
Yeah.
That I feel like this is actually, like, it's, like, very effective, I think, for him to be the one peddling this because it makes it seem like a common sense, real
right.
person
yeah.
issue and not... like
right,
something
like
that
people
policy
just,
people
right,
care
right.
about.
Like people,
you know?
The people who were like, look at Stephen Colbert, that they're like, they shun him as like a Bill Maher. They're like,
right,
yeah,
right.
we don't want to hear it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Whereas
exactly.
with Jimmy Kimmel, you can at least like get those people that
right.
are just watching for like to listen
yeah.
to.
I mean, Jimmy
him
Kimmel,
and
is...
there's a re- as you said, like there's a real story there
yes.
too that like you know pulls at the heartstrings.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
So,
he's
yeah.
but so people have started calling it the Jimmy Kimmel test because he basically ripped Bill Cassidy for not. You know, being able to say that this bill would prevent
mm-hmm.
people from not having access to emergency medical care, regardless of whether they could afford it.
Yeah.
And so that kind of started a battle of the
yeah.
a battle of words.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to have the major healthcare, you know, litmus test be called the Jimmy Kimmel test.
I know, right?
Yeah. For any real reason. And yeah. Here's some hypocrisy from the, from, what is it? I think it's Heritage's lobbying wing, right?
Yeah.
Heritage Action, where they have decided.
Right-wing group.
Yeah. Yeah. They have decided that Graham Cassidy doesn't go far enough because it doesn't do enough to prevent liberal states from setting up single-payer systems right. with this block grant money, yeah, so, should they want to.
Right. The idea is that this block grant money, like, goes and you just, like, send basically, like, a set amount of money to a state and then they can do whatever they want. But the Heritage Foundation is worried that, like, if you send it to Vermont, then Vermont sets up single-payer, and they don't want anybody to have single-payer, regardless if that's what the people of the state want with the money that they took from right. the federal government.
Well, because then they, I guess, see if it works.
Yeah.
And then they're like, yeah.
They see if it works. It takes money out of the pockets of insurance companies immediately because right. the state can decide everyone in this state is on our state health plan.
Right.
Why do you think they're in bed with the insurance companies so much? What is that?
Because the insurance companies have money.
No, but who's lobbying for, like, what politicians and the insurance companies, like, you know, I know oil and all right. that stuff, but
no, there's an association of insurance companies and also pharmaceutical companies that right. come and pay, you know, give them money for re-election and stuff like
so
that.
So there are lobbyists?
There are big insurance industry lobbyists. Yeah, it's a pretty substantial lobby. What's interesting with these healthcare bills is a lot of the insurance industry is actually not in favor of these healthcare changes. The Republicans have kind of boxed themselves into a weird corner where the insurance industry itself is pretty lukewarm on a lot of these changes because the one thing the ACA does is guarantee them like a huge
exactly,
market.
Yeah,
place.
Right. Exactly.
And so, that's all that Obamacare does is force everybody to go buy their product.
Here's the thing. I have Obamacare, right? And the insurance company, they're getting $360 a month.
Yeah,
from
of course.
Thomas
exactly.
Yeah,
I
might
that.
Be paying $160
right.
because
no,
I'm getting the subsidy.
Right, sure. Yeah.
But that's because my government is helping me so I can work for myself, chase my dream, become a huge millionaire, and then put back into the society.
There you go. Yeah.
Exactly. Here's the thing. This is true. Like, that is the American dream. If I didn't have that opportunity, then maybe I would have to quit chasing my dream, go work at a low-income job,
right.
and be one of these low-income jobs.
Well,
is that what we want for America?
And
or do
also,
we want more
likely
rich people?
That low-income job wouldn't offer health insurance, and we'd have
right.
to figure out what
Some
to do
way,
with
anyway.
All these people that don't have health insurance.
But even
anyway.
If they don't care about me having health insurance or
right.
not, right? Let's just talk about the American dream.
Right, it
Let's
doesn't
talk
offer
about
you flexibility.
Helping
right.
me become yeah. the best American
yeah.
I can
this,
be
yes, this
so
elect,
I can
yeah.
give back to the country.
Yeah. yeah.
Don't we want to raise rich people?
So true.
That's what nobody wants that more than Republicans,
right.
supposedly.
Exactly. But see, that's the thing: is that the main problem is income inequality. Is
yeah.
that the what yeah. they are squeezing us to death,
yeah.
literally?
Yeah.
And the poor middle class people just are not realizing it. That's the yeah. bottom yeah. line.
Well, and yeah. it's hard. It's hard too because the rhetoric of lowering taxes
right.
appeals to everyone because nobody likes paying taxes.
Right.
But you have to kind of like. And you also, when you're a rich person, especially, like, I think it was Liz Warren who a long time ago gave a speech about this where she was basically like the you didn't build it speech.
Oh,
where
yeah.
she was basically like, mm-hmm. you know, you as a rich person we built you things that enabled you to get this rich.
Right, exactly.
We built the roads. We built the mm-hmm. schools. We educated your
yeah.
workforce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we
yeah.
provide, you know, we made sure that they could get emergency health care. Mm-hmm. We did all of these things so that you could get rich. So you mm-hmm. do owe us.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
not as simple
they,
as.
Yeah. They don't.
But
yeah.
they think that, you know, it's their.
Of course not.
Their
they're delusional.
Daring
when
do.
You, when
yeah.
you get that rich, you get delusional.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're out of touch.
But
yeah.
interestingly, Lindsey Graham did stand up for states' ability to
do whatever
they want with this money.
All right.
There were a few Republicans who started making waves about that, and Lindsey Graham said, "I can't have it both ways. If you want to have a single-payer healthcare system, be my guest."
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Mike Lee actually said the same thing, which
well, they're big states' rights.
They're big states'
good?
Rights guys.
I don't know. Is it that great? Because I heard someone talking about it. Like, because I honestly like. I like my insurance that I have right now. I mean, it's not the best. I still have to pay, like, there are, like, out-of-pocket stuff that I have
yeah.
to pay, but I'm not paying $1,500 for a pill. You know what I'm
right.
saying? So it's like, so it does help. The single-payer thing, doesn't it make it, like, so isn't the insurance not that good with single-payer?
No, so
like, you have to wait a long time for stuff.
You should know that we're huge
right.
single-payer fans.
On right,
this
okay. Yeah, no,
we're going to give you a really,
convincing,
a really
yeah.
convincing view. No,
I'd love to hear it.
Single-payer is a system that it sort of changes the full insurance
mm-hmm.
system. And so instead of you having private insurance at all, we have kind of like what they have in Canada. Where you
yeah,
just,
but I heard it's not that good in Canada.
Well,
here's the thing. I was in Canada.
Right.
And I got sick
right.
in Canada. And I had to, like, it took me, I had to, like, get a special person to get the doctor to come let me see him. And I had to pay out of pocket.
Well, yeah, because you're not a Canadian citizen.
Right.
I think, you know, and this is a system that also a society can decide how they want to operate that system. But essentially, it means so healthcare, health insurance is a system of pooled risk. So the cheaper, I mean, the more people that are in the pool, the cheaper it gets. So the cheapest possible way to insure everybody is to make everybody pay into one system. And instead of having like these little pockets of insurance where, you know, some people pay into Cigna and some people pay into Blue Cross and they have administrative costs associated with those because they're for-profit companies. They have to make a profit. They have to show their shareholders that they're, you know, cutting costs. They have to, you know, devote.
They have to have marketing campaigns.
They have to have marketing campaigns. Right. There's a sort of, so there's like a, there's a cost benefit to having it all be done at the government level just because a lot of the additional costs of operating a private industry disappear. But also it means that, you know, every single, so all our whole medical system essentially becomes one system. So instead of having a system where like right now I have fine health insurance, but I have limited doctors that I can go see.
Right.
I, you know, it can be difficult and, it can be difficult to figure out what the fees are going to be ahead of time.
So much. I've got like $200 bill. I'm like,
exactly.
Wait, why did you do
this? In a single payer system, the government pays for everything and you pay for it with your taxes. So your taxes go up slightly, but for most people, your taxes don't go up more than your out-of-pocket costs diminish. So like right now, if you're paying $200 a month for health insurance, you're already paying $2,400 a year just to have insurance. That doesn't include your out-of-pocket costs. It doesn't include prescription drugs. It doesn't include all these things. When you have a single payer system, you don't pay any of those out-of-pocket costs. You don't pay the $200 a month. And you instead pay, say, maybe like $2,000 more a year in taxes.
Yeah, right.
But it ends up saving you money unless you're very wealthy, unless you're in the top 5% or so.
Right.
And if you're in the top 5%, you're
How do
you're
the
not,
doctors get paid?
The doctors get paid by the state.
By the, yeah,
they become public employees.
So does that is that bad too
well,
then? Because then we
it,
don't have,
it,
you know,
it,
it's like,
it
I don't know
changes.
If I want someone who has a state job cutting me open.
I mean,
well,
our mothers are public school teachers, and I would trust to say
the thing about this, and we don't have it in front of us right now, but you can look at medical outcomes for various different, you know, diseases,
country.
And also just sort of like overall medical outcomes for people, in like, you know, by country by country. And ours are
by
not
far the worst.
Great.
Oh, okay. So,
they're,
well, like, is Canada better than ours?
Yeah. Way better.
Yes.
Okay.
So, is
England
you just have to have
better than ours?
So, is England, so,
they
is,
care.
So well, is
Australia. Our medical education system doesn't change. It's just the employment
right.
no,
situation
but
that changes.
It's a matter of just human, like, just desire. So, it's like you
well,
have to have people who just genuinely.
I would
well,
contend
and,
that having doctors be nickeled and dimed by insurance companies at, and having to negotiate all of the, you know, all of the deals themselves doesn't actually lead to such great care on our
that's
part.
True
My
too.
Doctors don't
well,
spend
that's
much time with me. They can't.
That's what I always say to people.
They're
like,
trying to make
because,
burn and
right,
turn.
Because, yeah. I was going to say,
then
so many,
they're
so
running
many
a
people,
business.
Right. Just the, you know, the log line that they give you is just sort of like, well, do you really want the government deciding, you know, what kind of healthcare you can have? And my response is like, well, actually kind of, because I'd rather have the government doing it than like the guy
Cigna.
Who's just like trying to make sure that he keeps, you know, all of his money in his pocket. The executive at
it could work. Yeah, I guess I could see what you're saying. It would be a rough transition, I think.
It would be, and I, you know, we would probably have to phase it in. And as one thing that we should say is that in a lot of these countries, rich people still buy private insurance. There is still private insurance available. In Britain, the NHS is available to everyone, and there are rich people with private insurance anyway, and they go to private hospitals, and they still get special rich person care. The way we have it now, though, poor people here just don't get care. There is not really access to care for a lot of poor or disabled people.
Right.
We have programs that are supposed to be helping them.
But that's why Obamacare is good, because if you have making no money, you can get it for free.
The one thing that Obamacare
Unless
didn't do...
Unless you live in a state that didn't...
That didn't take the money.
Right, exactly.
And also the one
yes.
thing that it didn't do is it really didn't
I
bring
agree.
Premium costs down enough. So, you know, I...
Yeah, because mine's $360 a month
like
without
mine
the subsidy.
Mine is $460 a month, and
right.
I don't get a subsidy. And it's,
I agree.
And it's like the amount of money to live in L.A., the amount of money that you have to make to get the subsidy is fairly low for the cost of living here.
Yeah.
It's the system of allowing private insurers into one marketplace brought costs down a bit, but you still need something that requires everyone to get the insurance, and you still need everyone to be paying an amount into the insurance that makes sense. And that's hard to mandate with a plan that's as piecemealed as the ACA. So the ACA was a...
ACA just needs more work. I like honestly. I don't know if I, like the single payer thing. It's like, because then okay, everyone just has it, right? And then there's still rich people that can have the good insurance, right?
Sure.
So then it's like, what if your doctor's like, well, I want those rich ones. I want that good insurance shit.
Well,
like,
and that is a real concern about having sort of like two different systems. But I would contend that we sort of already have two different.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
I don't know if we do because I feel like as long as you just have insurance, like the doctor will say, oh, I don't take that insurance, and then you just move on. Like it's like
I think the difference is that if you are a wealthy person, mm-hmm. you can see any doctor that you want ultimately. Yeah. And if you are a poor person in this country, there are a lot of mm-hmm. poor and middle class people who can't see any doctors for anything because the out of pocket costs associated with them are still very high.
Yeah. But you are, I mean, we have also, and there's a bill in the Senate right now that is bipartisan mm-hmm. that is fixes to the ACA. And like obviously
this is not
like,
to say that we don't support fixes to the ACA.
Because there are definitely ways that you could figure out how to get costs down and you could figure out how to make care more accessible. Yeah. And so those...
Because the doctors...
We're certainly open
paid.
To those.
Yeah, exactly. We're the ones that are just like having to pay the extra out-of-pocket or what's left over.
So, but the fact that they haven't chosen to go that route is like it's questionable. Concerning. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm looking at.
The sort of two-tiered goals of getting of improving health insurance in America should be to improve the ACA and ultimately to look at a system that is more efficient and cheaper and provides better outcomes
instead
everyone.
Of throwing everybody
instead
off
instead of throwing everyone.
Oh,
and I think that's kind of how you know the sort of continuum of the left to the far left is sort of viewing mm-hmm. their plan. Mm-hmm. I think the problem is that. The rights plan really is to just return to a system that we had, you know, 5 years ago that was...
Which was awful. It left me with... I didn't have medical insurance for like 2 years.
Yeah, so many...
Because I mean, it was like... because it was like $385 a month. And I was like, I'm just not going to be able to pay that right now. No, that's totally. Can't happen.
Yeah.
No, and just imagine a world where your premium costs is $0 a month. That's how most of the world wakes up every morning.
I know.
It's like... True.
But I don't... My thing is I don't think it should... I don't want it to be $0 because then you get what you pay for. And I'm very into
You aren't not paying for it because you are paying for it with your taxes. It's not that we're not paying for it.
I get that. But we're not paying a lot for... We're paying... If it's $2,000 a year and that's like less than $100 a month... That's still a happy meal, and I don't with my health care. I want to pay a little.
You don't want a happy bill. You want
like make money
or
happy.
You want like at
and
least
when I'm
Applebee's.
Dealing, yes, at least.
Yeah, at least Applebee's.
People are happy when they're making money, and I think that they should make money so that they're happy when they're taking care of me. I don't think they should be robbing us blind.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Huh. Let's talk about sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sports.
Who's excited to talk about sports? I am.
Actually, I sort of am because
I've been arguing all day about it.
I normally am not, but I do love a good protest. And
yeah.
Well, that's true. Yes.
That's what we have here in sports news today is a lot of protests.
Trump gave this speech in Alabama, and we're going to get to more about that in just a second because it was insane, as all of his speeches are and all of his rallies are. Yeah. But he decided at that rally, which was a rally for a Senate candidate, had nothing to do with anything with the NFL.
Right.
That never does. It never does, yes. Sort of, like, just totally, like, went in on... I don't think he ever said Colin Kaepernick by name, actually, but it was obviously, like, designed to, you know, drag him, basically.
And he also called him a son of a bitch, indirectly, even though he didn't refer to him by name.
Said that anybody who was doing these protests, the owners should fire them, and he just went, like, on an insane tirade about it.
Yeah.
So
again, I don't give him any energy. It's his supporters that bother me.
Well,
that's what pisses me off. So go
ahead. Well, and this is like a siren call to his supporters.
Oh, yeah, it is.
You know, to rally up.
To rally up against
against
people
what? Against
well,
pro
kneeling
sports
during
stars
rally.
That they will never meet in there. Like I just don't get it. It's just a bizarre thing to.
Well, it's an attack against our freedom. To be honest with you, it's an attack against our constitution. It's attack against our society.
Well, his literal quote was, "That's a total disrespect of our heritage. That's a total disrespect of everything we stand for." He said of a man using his First Amendment rights to protest our long history of abusing black bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Basically,
basically,
he literally. Use the terms heritage and disrespect of everything we stand for to describe a man using his First Amendment rights to protest what is our heritage, which is a long and bloody history of abusing people of color. Like, that's... It was like his language couldn't have been more perfect slash terrible.
Yeah. And Colin is literally peacefully... Protest, like, literally, you cannot be any more peacefully protesting on that.
Yeah, so true.
And, well, and I'm a famous Pledge of Allegiance sitter and National Anthem sitter, and so I feel like I've been doing this for years, and it is interesting who it pisses off and who it doesn't piss off, but this is, like, the thing I always say is, like, this is the least, like, sort of aggressive kind of protest that you could possibly be engaged in. Yeah,
he's saying, I think, this is what I'm getting from it, because I don't know if there's... He's doing it because he's saying he doesn't feel that as a black person, he wasn't treated like a real American, right?
Well,
like
basically, it started last year, actually, as a response to all of the police brutality and then also sort of like the, you know, the criminal justice system's response to the police brutality. So that's sort of like where it started. But, I mean, it obviously was representative of broader, you know,
I think
institutional racism in the country.
I think a lot of people just don't understand. I think that they just see him.
Especially,
in their mind,
for
sure. Disrespectful.
Yeah, he's not American.
I don't think they get it. They just don't understand. Like,
But it's
interesting. They've chosen to not.
They've chosen to not get it. Yes. It's interesting because a lot of other football teams have started to kind of pick up the mantle in small ways. Mm-hmm. Like the New England Patriots, some of them refused to go to the White House when they won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm.
That was the Super Bowl, right?
It's not just the NFL because basketball players have also started to protest.
Yeah. Well, and Steph Curry, who's been the MVP of the NBA, said that he wasn't going to go to
his own
the White
team's
House
because
they always, whoever wins the NBA playoffs always gets invited. And so now Trump has disinvited them after he already said that he wasn't going to go.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
Which is like, such, you know, I'm breaking up with you.
Yeah. I said it first.
But hilariously, Trump went on a weird Twitter rant today about what kinds of protest are acceptable versus not. So he's been putting some real thought into it. Because today was a huge day of protest throughout the NBA. Yeah. It's a big football game day.
NFL
game day.
Yeah, not
you know.
NBA.
I hate these people that say, like, I pay to watch you play football, not talk about politics. Like, well, guess what? I come on Facebook to see my nieces and nephews, not hear about your fucking ideas of politics, okay? But you still say it. Okay?
Also, like, the national anthem is not inherently a part of playing football. Mm-hmm. It's just a thing they do before a football game.
Exactly.
So, like, people can do whatever the fuck they want.
I heard a story on NPR about this a while ago where they talked about, like, the first time that this was started. And it was, like, just randomly done once before, like, a Boston Red Sox game. Like, it's not a thing that, like, when we first invented sports in this country, we were like, let's do the national anthem before all of these things.
No.
It's just like, it's sort of like how we added Under God to the,
Pledge of Allegiance.
It's like,
sometimes we get
sporting
swept
event,
up in a...
Yes.
Like, yes, we are now to the point where we have decided we will play the national anthem before sporting events, but like, it's not as if like, that should be representative of your American-ness.
No. Well, it's part of the sheep mentality.
Yeah.
They keep you, that's what they do.
Yeah,
they keep you saluting the flag.
That's why I don't salute the flag.
No,
that's a fascist,
fascist
thing to
You're ruled.
Ask.
You're being ruled. And
it's also pledging allegiance to an item that can be, that you can decide represents whatever you want.
Yeah, and I don't pledge allegiance to the flag. Yeah. I pledge allegiance to like the human beings that I interact with in the world. That's what I pledge allegiance to.
I
pledge allegiance to be kind.
Some of them are black, too.
Right.
Just
a lot of them
in a crazy way. Yeah, no. That's so in any case, the NFL today taking a knee all over the place.
Yeah.
A lot of knees were taken today.
Yeah. And a lot of
arm
linkage.
Apparently
you,
Trump's
Colin
A-OK with
you. I would take a couple of knees for that boy. He is sexy.
But you know, he is.
Woo!
Tats.
Oh,
God,
yeah.
I love
But you know what? He's not, and this is the thing, he's not playing right now.
Right.
Because he was after the season ended last year, he was a free agent and no one has picked him up, and a lot of people think that's because of they didn't want to touch this whole protest
thing
because
happened with,
he is better than at least half of the starting quarterbacks in the league right now, and he's better than probably at least every single backup quarterback in the league right now, and he's not on a team.
Who was the gay football player, the black guy who came out? What was his name again?
Oh yeah.
It happened to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Too much like
yeah, because he got
yeah, because it was like oh they don't, we don't want it yeah we don't want it to be about a gay football
yeah.
player and
yeah.
the news and the
sports.
Press and yeah sports yeah, yeah exactly.
I know.
What was
I
his name?
Sports.
Oh, that stinks that I don't remember. Sam.
Yes, Michael Sam.
Michael Sam. Thank you.
Nicely done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In any case.
But we've got baseball players doing it now.
We've got baseball
the first
players
time
doing
yesterday,
it.
I
Stevie
think,
Wonder
was,
did it. Yeah, like, yeah. Celebrities are doing
Stevie
it.
Wonder just, Stevie Wonder just thought he was catching a nap.
Yeah. Exactly. We had we even had a few team owners and some even Trump supporting team owners came out and at least linked arms.
Good.
Tom Brady had to do it.
Somebody who sang the national anthem at the Detroit game then joined the protest after singing the national anthem,
that's
which
right.
I really appreciate.
Good.
Because you know what? You can have those two thoughts in
exactly.
your head at the same time. You can be proud to be an American and also say we have institutional racism here.
Yes!
Like, those two things don't have to...
I stand with you.
Right? Like, you can like hold those two things in your brain at
I
once.
Was,
Republicans can't.
Right, exactly right. Exactly. But we can.
I was very interested to
some
see...
Some Republicans can.
How many teams had, like, some people kneeling and other people who had to link arms with kneeling people but chose not to kneel,
not
themselves.
To kneel themselves?
Well, how about
but
that asshole...
Like, what are you doing?
There's a picture of some guy. I think it's Patriots or some guy.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
No, it wasn't Tom Brady. I think, who was
it? The only
person
I know.
I don't know. Well, he did the arm lock, but also had the hand.
No, there was another who stood by himself, and he put his hand in the thing, and
people
were posting, they're like, this is a true, like, oh, really? A true American going against people of that are being, you know,
right, being persecuted and mistreated?
A peaceful protest? No, you're an asshole, bro. That's what you are. You're an asshole.
Some teams, the Steelers...
Just didn't even come
didn't
out of
come
the
out,
locker room for it.
Except for their offensive tackle.
Yeah.
One
who
guy.
Wasn't he a vet?
Yeah, he's a vet.
Yeah. So, I mean, sure.
Yeah, but I mean, he literally left the locker room to specifically go stand alone.
He left all of his teammates to, like, go out there by himself.
And
yeah.
then they got
Oh, that
booed.
Guy. Wait, is that who I'm looking
for? Is it
for?
Alejandro Villanueva?
That his?
Oh,
that
that's probably because he was out there by himself.
Yeah.
Yes, he was out there by himself.
Yeah, that's who it was.
Yeah.
With his,
and then the team got booed when they came out. I mean, it wasn't their
hometown.
It was a road
game.
It was a road game.
So, like,
they would have used that as an example to boo. Exactly. Yeah, and it was at the Detroit Lions and Atlanta Falcons game that
the
singer Rico Lavelle.
Don't know who that is.
Yeah, he joined the demonstrations there. But in any case, the pictures are fun for people who love protests
case,
and not football.
Yeah.
Sure.
In any case, this is how I feel. Until you can sing to me the national anthem word for word and show me how much you love this fucking song,
right?
I don't. You're irrelevant.
Yeah.
Your anger towards
this is
irrelevant.
You
don't, irrelevant. You
I
don't give a shit.
I want to hear them sing that racist verse that we took out of it too.
Yeah.
But they don't know it. They
Nobody knows that.
They don't know
don't
one
know
word
it,
to
so
the song. You don't care about the statues. You don't care about the statues. You didn't go every day. The statue did not make you a day every day in the parks. The statue did take it down.
Right.
It wasn't like a thing that you and your child, oh, every day we love the statue. You didn't care. You didn't care until black people cared. And now you care because you're racist. Done. So over it. I'm so done with it. It's like
I feel like that's a... That's a good place to end that topic.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's it. You are irrelevant.
This did give me some interesting thoughts about what teams I would support in vague future Super Bowls that I'm forced to watch at Brent's house.
Right.
Just some thoughts.
Yeah.
In any case,
this is the final news. This
today.
Alabama. Have you been following this Alabama Senate race? Because it's bonkers.
I don't follow anything that happens in Alabama.
It's a race.
I've been to Alabama.
Where the leading candidate's name is Luther Strange.
Yeah, but he's not the leading candidate.
But he's not the leading candidate anymore. He's about to lose.
Yeah. So,
yeah, he's in the Senate right now, Luther Strange. He's like 6'8".
He
by
took
the way.
Pete Sessions.
Former,
Jeff Sessions' seat.
Former basketball player. Anyway, so he is running now for re-election, and he's running against this guy whose name is Roy Moore. And Roy Moore is one of the craziest people alive. Like, truly,
like
kill the gays.
Alabama crazy.
Alabama, like crazy even by Alabama standards.
Yeah.
So that should tell you something. So those two are running in a primary against each other because they're both Republicans. So Trump had a while ago endorsed this guy, Luther Strange, who's already in the Senate right now.
Right.
So
at the behest of Senate leadership and some other Republican
bigwigs. Yeah, so Mitch McConnell also endorsed him, whatever. But Roy Moore, being an appropriate level of crazy for Alabama Republicans, is actually ahead in that race.
Right.
So it's going to be close. It's happening soon.
Yes.
And two weird things happened this week. One, Ben Carson, who is in the Trump administration, came out and endorsed the guy, other than the one that Trump had already endorsed.
Trump endorsed Luther Strange. He came out and endorsed
Roy Moore. Big sort of like, like unprecedented, like in the way that like, why do we care what Ben Carson thinks about this Senate race?
Right.
He's the, you know, head of
housing
and
urban
development.
He praised Moore for his Judeo-Christian values.
Oh,
so he has important Judeo-Christian values.
Both insane.
It's not just regular Christian values.
He
has only the Judeo-Christian kind.
Yeah. So that was weird because it seemed like an odd step for someone like whose boss is President Trump there being like, you know, Trump, what? I like this other guy better.
There are Trump mouthpieces that have endorsed Roy Moore, but none of them are in the White House right now.
Yeah.
Like Gorka and Bannon and Sarah Palin and those kind of people. Right. They've all endorsed Roy Moore. But none of them work in the cabinet. They're not in the cabinet.
Right. They don't work for the guy.
So, but you guys have to understand, again, these people actually, like Benghart, they actually think that they're right-minded people. So when they do that, they think they're being, let me show you how I'm being my principles. So they're not just like they really genuinely believe that they're good, people.
He
so
thinks Roy
that's
Moore
why these things happen
uphold,
like that.
Is going to uphold the Judeo-Christian values that are so important. Yeah.
Oh,
but then Trump,
more hilariously,
himself has been having some hard time coming around to all of this.
Trump went down there in the same speech that he talked about the NFL players.
Right.
He also, which was a rally for Luther Strange. Yes. He went down there to get everybody riled up to vote for Luther Strange, had second thoughts about whether people should vote for Luther Strange.
And
said
also,
it in his speech at the rally that maybe he'd made a mistake by endorsing Luther Strange.
Guys, Donald Trump went to Hurricane Harvey?
Yeah.
And talked about his turnout.
This is not.
My favorite part is that he does this by telling us what the definition of loyal is.
Yes.
He said, we may have to be loyal in life. There's something called loyalty, and I might have made a mistake. I'll be honest. I might have made a mistake.
Right. So he said, I believe in loyalty, but also you should vote for this other guy.
Right.
Real questionable
guy.
Interpretation of the
word
loyalty.
He also said, Luther will win. Roy has a very good chance of not winning in the general election, which seems wrong because A, he's ahead, and B, he's as crazy as Alabama. Like, I'm not going to put it past Alabama to elect him.
You know, we've seen in previous Senate races where the Republicans pick a really insane person and then they lose in the general election. But those have been in places that are sort of right-minded. Like, it happened in Missouri recently where the Republicans picked an insane person and then Claire McCaskill won. She's a Democrat. It happened in Indiana, where they picked, like, the most insane person, and then the Republican lost. But in Alabama, you can pick the most insane person, and they're still going to win.
Right. Of course. Go wild.
So it's like, that's Alabama. There's no chance. If Roy Moore, the person who wants to, you know, kill all the homosexuals, wins the Alabama Republican primary, he's also going to win the general election. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He will soon be Senator Roy Moore.
He can be up there with Mike Lee and Ted Cruz protesting their own bill.
Here's what I'm going to say. I think we should end it on this. I think it's adorable that you guys still think that conversation is going to help any of this. I think it's very sweet. I really do. And I'm here for you. I'll talk, you know.
Yeah. Come back. Converse with us whenever.
But the shit's going to pop, you know. We just have to be prepared, and it's just going to be violent. It's going to be really violent, and it's going to be dangerous. It's going to be a lot
good
of
example of why.
But good will prevail, and at the end, the reason is this: because we have to rebuild. The way our government is, it's too old. We're going to be rebuilding government, the way things are set up, the way society is. We're higher consciousness now, but you can't build over shit. So you have to have, it's like demolition. You have to rise from the ashes.
So you see this as a clearing that will leave room for us to.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it started in 2012, and the Mayans predicted it, and that's when it started, the split of consciousness.
We finally worked that Mayan prediction in.
I'll come back on part two of this episode, and we'll talk about that.
Okay, great. Good. Thank you so much for coming.
Absolutely. If you have any issue with anything I said today, please feel free to talk to me. ThomasDale5 on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
And Facebook. But Facebook, I really don't want to have to publicly shame you. So just DM me.
Go the
we'll talk.
Can we see you anywhere coming
up? All over LA, improv. I'll be at the Brea Improv headlining October 18th, 8 p.m. Brea Improv.
All right. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.
And we will talk to you guys next week,
bye,
as we do every week. Bye.